Well, hello again. This is Bill Randall. I'm the current publicity or PR chair of Rotary District 5160, which is up here in Northern California. And this is another podcast. And this is the month of January, year 2012. And we're starting up a new year here with a brand new podcast. And Rotary names all their months and everything else. And January is Awareness Month, Rotary Awareness Month. So you're supposed to all be aware of Rotary during this month, and we are having a PR campaign and lots of good stuff. But since you're tuned in here listening to this, we're going to attempt to make you a little more aware of some of the things about Rotary, because we're going to be discussing our public relations issues with Rotary. And we have some really special guests here, all kinds of highly intelligent and verbal people, and they're going to be helping us also discuss the inner workings of Rotary, how the three different levels of Rotary actually work together to facilitate all the good thing, wonderful things that clubs do. But before you tire of my voice and click out of here, I'm going to have the folks around the table briefly tell you who they are and what their current assignment in Rotary is, perhaps how long they've been in Rotary, because I've been in Rotary coming up on 6 years now, and that's why I get to talk first. So let's go around the table. How about you, sir? Oh,
I'm Victor Georgiou. I'm with Danville Rotary. I'm currently chief of staff of the district, which means I do all of the administrative activities, and I've been in Rotary 20 years this year.
Wow. You, sir?
I'm Steve Lack from the Rotary Club of Pleasant Hill, and I'm the district governor nominee for 2013-14, so in 2 years, and been in Rotary 8 years so far.
Okay, so I thought I was hot stuff, being first to talk and all, but this fellow's going to be in charge of everything in his 10th year of Rotary. Pretty impressive. Mm-hmm. And you, sir?
I'm the young guy here. I'm Eddie Bersan. I've been with Rotary 2 years. This is my third year. I'm with the Concord Diablo Rotary Club, and I'm the community service director as well as the PR person for the club.
And Eddie is the go-to guy to get the word out, folks, so we are very happy to have him here. And you at the end of the table, Mr. Ghost Rider.
Yeah, so I'm Joe Hackman, and I'm the producer of the podcast. I'm also a member of the Danville Sycamore Valley Rotary, and I'm a co-chair on the Community Service Committee this year. I joined Rotary about 4 or 5 years ago.
And he is our social media expert, or as I call him, the wonk. And whenever I need to know anything, I go there. And you, young lady?
I am Laura Day. I'm the district governor-elect, the governor for the year 2012-2013. Member of the Rotary Club of San Ramon Valley, a Rotarian 17 years. And I'm excited to be here. I'm going to take this moment to congratulate you, Bill Randall, and your team for the PR grant. We're so excited to see how that rolls out this month. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Laura. And we need to be very nice to Laura, because she's in charge in less than 6 months. Looking forward to another great Rotary year. And finally, young lady.
I'm Rosemary Barker-Aragon. I'm from Seattle, Washington. A member of the University Club. You cannot see me, but I have the University of Washington sweatshirt on to represent the university that particular University Club is. I have been a Rotarian since 1987. That's 24 years. That's the year that women were allowed into Rotary in the United States. I'm from a Rotary family. We've been Rotarians since 1920. Not me, but grandfather. In any case, I am a past governor from up north in the Seattle area, and I am what is known as the zone public relations coordinator. And this zone is 10 districts in British Columbia, Washington, Oregon, Northern Idaho, Northern California, and Western Nevada.
Whoa, glad to have you here too. So you see, you're starting to get a glimpse into the structure of Rotary. Starts with a Rotarian, belongs to a club, clubs belong to a district, districts are sort of helped out by zones, and zones report back to a nebulous place called Evanston, Illinois, which is, I think, maybe a fictional place. I'm not sure I've been there yet. Anyway.
It's got a good university there, very picturesque.
All right, so Rosemary's been there, so yeah. Maybe we'll learn more about that too. Anyway, this is Awareness Month, and public relations is a hot issue for Rotary now, probably because it was a non-issue for a long, long time. And in a competitive world of public relations and trying to get your attention for your support and your participation, that sort of thing, Rotary has not been the most aggressive player in the game. And we've been doing some self-reflecting and trying to do some changes there. But basically, we were pretty comfortable for a while saying, we are the best-kept secret in town. Why was that? And rather than totally script this, I'm going to just let people chime in with whatever they might have to say. And if no one says anything, I'll just keep talking. But what was it in Rotary that kept the organization from recognizing the need to sell itself?
This is Rosemary. I think it was success. That up until maybe 10, 15 years ago, the organization, both for us locally and then internationally, was growing in membership, and it was successful. So why do you have to go about promoting yourself? Why do you have to have PR if it works? We've been stuck internationally at 1.2 million Rotarians for, 10 or 15 years. And at anywhere from 10 to 30% loss rate every year, that's a lot of people in and out the door over that period of time. And yep. I think people just realized, well, if we can't tell our story either to ourselves or others, we're missing something here.
Now, I think it's more basic than that, and I think it gets to the culture. You know, there was a time when doctors didn't advertise. And attorneys didn't advertise, and in the Judeo-Christian ethic, you don't go around bragging about the good things you do. You do the good things because they're the good things. But to your point, when you're succeeding, when you're in a world where you can do that, that's just fine. But that's not the world we're in anymore.
That's right.
The other issue to bring out for as the new guy is Rotary still does. You have to be invited in. And so as such, it is a personal invitation. And that goes contrary to the concept of public relations. Because, after all, it's relations to the public. Whereas Rotary's mantra from its inception has been, we select. It is almost an elitist type of approach, and that goes contrary to the most fundamental aspect of public relations, which is you get more done by screaming from the top of a tree than whispering in a well. And so as a result, you, from a public relations point, as a case study, Rotary is a problem, because you can't go out to the masses to say, hey, you know, we have this great organization. Oh, but wait a minute, we don't want you to join. You got to be asked to join. So this has been a conflict from, again, as a new guy who stumbled into this, this is more of a cause of anything else. And yes, success breeds contempt. It also breeds complacency.
The word that comes to mind, not culture, but modesty. Rotarians tend to be modest, and they like to do good works in an anonymity. We don't like to point to ourselves, and I agree with Vic that it's a culture that's been there, but you pay a price for anonymity, and you do all this good thing, and nobody realizes it, and that goes back to Rosemary. It affects our success, because nobody knows that it's us that's successful.
Also, I think, this is Laura, it's addressing the fact that we're competing for dollars. In years past, I don't know that our focus was so much on the money that flowed through our organization, but with this type of competitiveness and our our feeling of doing good in the world, the Rotary Foundation motto. There's a need for the word to get out so we can attract funds, more so than before.
You know why I love these podcasts with these brilliant people is that you hope and pray when you try to figure out what you want people to say that they'll hit on a topic, and then the second thing said or the third thing said goes right to the heart of the matter and everybody responds to it with just brilliant observations. And I mean, there's a couple of big issues here. One of them is the inherent elitism of the organization. And it is elite, and there's an elite for very good reasons, because Rotary is looking for certain types of individuals. They're looking for people who are successful. You have to do well before you can do good, meaning simply, you've got to be a person that can accomplish things and a person that isn't distracted by trying to survive before you can really turn your efforts to something that is service above self, which means you're not going to get anything out of it necessarily. The second part of it is that you have to be a person with empathy. And that means something like you've got to have your neurons in your brain hardwired to be empathetic to other people. That's not absolutely everybody in the world. So this is a combination. And Rotarians are people that have that. They have the empathy for other people and they have the wherewithal and the drive to make that empathy useful and to actually improve the lot of other people without expecting return. So Rotarians are looking for other people like that, which means that unlike Coca-Cola, we're not satisfied if you just slap the Rotary brand on your shirt or something. We need you to actually get in there and be a Rotarian. So given all that, where does Rotary go in an age of information overload if we can't tell people we're elitist, because we're not really, but we sort of are, but don't need to be, or whatever? It's very complicated. Where do we go with that? How do we put the message out? What are some of the slogans that we might use besides service above self?
I think you just tell your story and then let the clubs be the gatekeepers. We don't worry about, we build awareness, we tell the story. Let the clubs kind of sort out their membership guidelines and priorities.
So what you're saying is basically the structure of Rotary is that every club is autonomous. And somebody remind me of the number. How many thousand clubs do we have?
32,000.
32,000 or more. Mm-hmm. And 1.2 million people in how many countries all over the world? And 200, they are all autonomous. How do you organize that kind of an organization and maximize it? So, Joe, what are you saying? Where's the maximum leverage and power come out of that?
Oh, the leverage is, it's always the cumulative mass, but I think it's efforts like the district PR, the zone PR. I think it's as far as the storytelling, as far as the direction, you have to have some kind of organization. You have to set an example. You have to provide leadership. But I think in general, I think Rotarians are not going to stay in Rotary if they're not going to do things. So people will continue to do things. You just make a little bit of information available and let them get inspired and let them do it their way.
But you're saying, Bill, it's autonomous, and this, Steve. We're really a franchise. Each club is a franchisee of, take Subway. Subway, is everybody's franchised. It's the biggest franchise, even bigger than McDonald's. But they have the thing in common, their brand, Subway. And Subway stands for something. All of our clubs are autonomous, but they're franchisees of Rotary, and Rotary stands for something. And one of the things we need to do besides tell our story is, what do we stand for? When you see the Rotary symbol, what should you think? When you see the Boy Scout fleur-de-lis, you know what to think. You know what they do. You see the McDonald's arches, you know what it is. What we don't have is a brand that people know. When somebody sees the Rotary logo, I usually get, what is that? And we have to explain what that is. What we need to do is to say, when you see the Rotary brand, this is what we stand for in general.
So I'd like to go back to Joe's point about storytelling. The YMCA recently, in the last few years, did rebranding. And the way that the YMCA projected itself was, we're an organization of da-da-da-da-da-da chapters that serve da-da-da-da people that have da-da-da number of employees. They didn't lead with the story of who they served, why they served, and what outcomes they wanted in terms of health of people, youth development, etc. They led with their numbers. Now, if you think about Rotary, we always lead with our numbers.
We do.
And talk about boring, really. So if you're in touch with your story of the youth programs and about Jim, who came in as a interact student and couldn't speak in public and then learned how to be a leader and then developed in such a way, you can tell those stories and people will say, wow, look at the outcomes you achieve. But we've been, I think, trained, learned to lead with numbers. And that doesn't persuade anybody. I think we lead with the stories and the value so that somebody could listen and go, well, yeah, I could see. I'm really interested in international global health issues. I see I could be part of Rotary and make a difference there. Or I'm really interested in helping kids learn how to read. I'm going to get involved in the dictionary program. But the storytelling is how I think we have to.
But the other part of that is to your point, is you ask the typical person, typical Rotarian, what Rotary does, and the first thing they say is polio.
Yeah.
And yet, we know from our own surveys that most people join Rotary to give back within their local community and to make friends and grow their network in their local community. And then this international thing is an acquired taste. Once you get in and you get established, then you go, well, there's a bigger world than just this community, and it's easy to springboard.
What's interesting about that, Vic, is that clubs do tremendous amounts of small and large work in their community. And trying to find out about it is like pulling teeth.
Correct.
Because they're doing it. And as long as you don't know those stories, how do you tell those stories?
Well, I can tell you how we tell the stories. I'm with Concord Diablo Rotary. We're a small club by Rotary standards. We're pushing 25 people. In the last year, in our Contra Costa Times, we've had 10 articles on us. The Concordian, which is the local newspaper, which the January issue came out, there's two stories in here about our club. I wrote them, and I submitted them as press releases, and I hunted down the editors, and I got them in. I write on the blogs. I make sure that we talk about what we're doing with the emphasis not on the international side, but on what we're doing locally. The bias is I'm the community service director, which is locally oriented. And it comes from two points. One, not only do I want the local community to know that we're out there, I want our club to see themselves in the community. That's very important. One of the things that people have ignored in the other clubs that I've seen around, and in Concord we've got a giant club, and we call it the big club. All right, I'm not a member of the big club, I'm a member of the little club. But one of the things that we have done that's very important is to make sure that the people in the club see themselves in the community and they get the echo back. One of the most important things in a club is retention. And part of building retention is the camaraderie and the recognition and the achievement sense that the club members get for being in Rotary. And every time I write an article, or every time I push a story, it's because I want my members to be proud of what they have accomplished, so that they then become little broadcast networks. It's not like, oh yeah, I went Wednesday and Henry was late once again. Okay? No, it was, we went Wednesday and we planned to go to the food bank, and boy, we had this great story, and that joke that Mary told, we got it on Facebook. And not only that, we got four different answers, and they were all funnier than what Charlie said. And we're going to use it when we go to the district, because they have no sense of humor once you go up the line. So that's the kind of stuff.
You know what? I love this guy. Always makes me laugh. Eddie's from Brooklyn, if you haven't figured that out yet, okay?
But anyway, I don't know why they would figure that out. You better just forget about
anyway, it. Anyway, Eddie's the man on the streets to me, and he's a wild man. And
the wild man's kind of important because we live in an age of information overload. And you know that. You turn things off and we mute commercials, and the return on investment on standard advertising to television is zip, and because everybody TiVos it out or whatever. But how do we fight that? Well, I know from my experience that the average Rotarian is not a salesman. Trying to get them to engage crowds and glad hand and stuff is tough. They'd rather talk to each other, and they are modest as a group. So this idea of having a cadre of aggressive people who can keep their club's accomplishments in the public eye, that seems to be very critical. How do we find these people? Do we just get lucky, as Conquer Diablo has with Eddie? Or how do we recruit these people? How do we make PR as much fun and as attractive as it is, obviously, for Eddie? How do we make that our clubs aware of that and make our clubs remember that PR is hugely important to them?
I think that Eddie hits on it when he talks about, I love my Rotary Club. And when you have members who are engaged and they love what they're doing, a lot of benefits come from that. One, the inclination to share that with everyone. The newspaper, putting up signs at your community events, your projects. And I think that, and it does one other additional thing, and that is encourages members to bring in new members. Because when you love your Rotary Club, everything works. And PR and people to step up into that position, in addition to making it fun like you have done.
So if it's fun in the club and it makes you feel good, why would you not want to share that with your best friends? Because you like them and you want them to have the rewards that you're getting. Joe, how does social media fit into this? How do clubs actually, how can they use this stuff? Eddie mentioned Facebook, for instance.
Yeah, well, social media is just think of it like another channel on the television or another form of radio or another form of media. It's just another tool that you can use to communicate. And depending on who you're communicating with and who you are, you would maybe choose social media for some of that, or you would maybe choose direct outreach to the newspapers. It's just based more on your comfort zone and the comfort zone of the people you're trying to reach.
And perhaps a shotgun effect is the most effective? Just keep sending stuff out?
I don't think the shotgun approach is horribly effective, because social media is social, so it is about a conversation. If you're just broadcasting information on social media, chances are nobody's listening to you. But if you're participating in conversations and, you know, Eddie mentioned commenting on blogs, going to blogs and things like that, that is how it works. It doesn't work without a conversation.
So you need to build the network of conversants.
Absolutely. It's just think of it as an area where you're not going to get anything out of it if you're not putting something into it. No different than, working your relationships with your media contacts or whatever else it might be. It's still, there's a social aspect to it.
For example, on Facebook, every club should have a Facebook page. But more importantly, every club who has members in Facebook should have their other members as friends of themselves. Because when I post a story on my Facebook page about when it in Rotary, not only is it going to the 900 people that are friends on Facebook, but of those 900, well, 12 of them are half my club. They're getting the story too. And that feeds into the camaraderie, even though a lot of times people don't read your stuff. In terms of what's out there. The other thing is, if you're using Facebook, it's face. Put a picture. If you put a picture and four lines, you'll get 3 to 4 times as many responses than if you just put on your so-called wall 3 lines.
What about teasers? I was watching this program this morning about P.T. Barnum in New York, and apparently in that American museum he set up in New York in the 1840s and 50s, he sold 42 million tickets Over the course of that museum to what was the entire population of the United States at the time, about 35 million. So he did very well. And he had a lot of oddities and things like that. Now, the PR campaign we're running has a bunch of different people. It's the plain folks technique. You know, we've got like eight varieties of people. They're all professionals. But the tagline on it is, ordinary folks doing extraordinary things. So that's a nice bit of propaganda. That's got kind of a testimonial thing going and plain folks and that. And it's a call to action and all that. When we're working social media, do we just friend everybody, as you say? Because personally, I think I have two friends on Facebook now in 6 years because everybody turns me down and I turn everybody else down unless they're just rising stars in Rotary or something. And I can see I'm doing it wrong.
Absolutely. Yeah. You friend everyone in your club because they're in your club. What's wrong with you? What's the matter with you? I'm going to smack this man across the top of his head. Then we go to district meetings. I think, again, I'm friends with half of you guys. All right? Mm-hmm. I mean, we exchange emails, but...
Which half? Are we? We're friends, right?
Yeah, I think
okay,
so.
Okay, all right.
I'm one of your six.
Yeah. Make sure, say that right.
Yes.
But, that's great.
But that's just Facebook. It's just one social media. I mean, the other things are, you know, your blogs when there's stories going on or just talking to friends. You know, we have many of us are in companies. Most of the large companies have company newspapers. Hmm. Use your influence in your own company to write two paragraphs about your Rotary Club and stick it in your company newspaper. We just did that at one of our club members at Sunrise, the Sunrise Club, has an automobile repair company, D&H Enterprises. And he has a little newsletter that he mails out once a month to all his clients. So he put five lines in there about the clunkers for cash program.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We have a guy who's in love with Denny's over here. I mean, maybe he can go around to Denny's and put, you know, put something in the bathroom walls. I mean, you know, whatever they do, okay. But there is a lot of media that everyone has access to, and they don't. It doesn't sink in on them. Use it. I go to my city council meetings, whereas a member of the public, sometimes I'm a curmudgeon, sometimes I'm a proponent, sometimes I'm an opponent. But I go to the city council meetings whenever we have a Rotary event, and I announce it in the public section. I push RotaCare at my community meetings. I've had guys go, I go to churches, not that I all go to such churches, but I go to churches up and down, and I will give them flyers about RotaCare, and I will talk to people who are holding other meetings. And this is the kind of thing we need to do. And like I said, all of us have access to a tremendous amount of media. You just need to pick up your hand and lay your hand on it and grab it by the throat and strangle them until they do what you're told. That's all. That's a very simple technique I learned as a kid. And remember, either they're doing what you tell them or they're doing what someone else tells them. So you might as well tell them what you want. And as Joe said, we have to get control of the story. Mm-hmm. And who better to write the story than us? Don't let our story be told by other people.
It's interesting. I'm not sure whether he's been talking to my mother or to my school teacher friends, because I was a school teacher, but grab them by the throat until they do exactly what you want them to do. Maybe just a little bit aggressive, but I'm sure.
That sounds more like the Marine Corps to me.
Yeah, well, now that's interesting that you brought up the Marine Corps, because what is their motto? We want what? A few good men. Oh, well, now they take women, too. My daughter was in there and everything, and only a few good ones, though. Now, Rotary will take just about any good people and candidates they'll take, right? So, also another outreach to a very specific segment of the population. See, I like bringing back these kind of controversial issues and everything, but... if we use social media, that's one venue. If we bang on the local media and stuff, what about word of mouth? Isn't that really the most effective way to sell Rotary, is for members to recognize that they are the best salespeople because they know what Rotary is.
I want to go to that because when you were talking, I don't disagree with you because I do think we want to do exactly what you described. But I'm on the board of a biomedical research company in Seattle and head up the communications committee of the board there. And one of the things we've been talking with our board members about is how do you tell the story? How do you as an individual tell the story of this biomedical research firm and the work it's doing on malaria vaccines, et cetera, and in what venues can you tell the story? And so at our last board meeting, we were talking about what do you say when you have 30 seconds, a minute or two, because somebody somewhere says, well, Bill, what are you up to these days? Whether you're at a business meeting, whether you're at a board meeting of another organization, you run into a friend, you're at a dinner party, you're with your family, someone's going to ask you that question, what are you up to?
That's the elevator talk, right?
Yeah, but it's the opportunity to say, well, you know, I've been involved. Then you tell the story, a personal story of something you have done that made a difference for somebody. And it may be an international story if the person that asks you happens to have an international interest. Or it may be a comment about youth, or it just may be something. But the point we're making to our board members there, and it's the same one I think we have in Rotary, when someone says, what have you been up to? Tell a story about something real. And it may provide an opportunity for them to say, oh, I want to know more. Or, oh, I can't believe you spend all your time doing that. So then you'd need an answer. Well, why wouldn't I spend my time helping kids to read? Why wouldn't I do that? That's good for the future of our country. You can get into quite a dialogue. But the opening is, what are you up to now?
Yeah.
And so you don't answer, oh, nothing, which is a normal response.
Do we have a problem with the comfort zone? The black hole of need grows all the time. And Rotary is getting pretty, what's the right word? Not aggressive, but it's wanting to take on more and more and more all the time. And it wants to grow and be bigger and bigger and bigger. But might it be a reality that many Rotarians in their clubs autonomously all over the world are comfortable? Comfortable knowing that they do good work, comfortable knowing that they belong to a great group of people, and comfortable in those relationships and not necessarily seeing the need, not seeing the clock ticking, and not aware of the statistics and that sort of thing of the decline in membership. How do we gently nudge our members to be aware that, it's really imperative that you tell your Rotary story?
Maybe you can't. When back to sorry, McDonald's, not all employees to go around saying, I work at McDonald's, it's great. It's up to the corporation to do the PR, to brand it. And part of it is RI needs to do more in branding it. I can sell the story better if you know what Rotary is. You can ask, well, I see that Rotary shirt, and that means X, and that starts the conversation. Yeah. But what we don't have is the type of PR branding at RI that we need. We need to do a lot more at the national, and then I can take it up when a friend says, I see this Rotary, I see that everywhere. What is that? Versus if McDonald's Corporation did not push the McDonald's brand, and it was just, you saw your neighborhood McDonald's, and it was I see this little McDonald's over there. What is that? But there's a partnership. I can do my part as a club member if I'm asked, as opposed to what you're saying is going out and proactively pushing it at the local level, the ground up. But we need a lot more at the RI level.
Well, that's known. And as a result of that, last year's international president, Ray Klingensmith, and his board committed a significant amount of money to do branding for the organization. Because if people around this room, if all of us at this table couldn't exactly explain the Rotary brand, and I, from a Rotary family and having been a Rotarian for 24 years, can't explain it, there's a problem. So they've hired a branding firm who is, I think their first report out should be this month. But it's addressing the issue of both with our internal clientele, Rotarians, their family members, our potential members, our partners like the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, and others about what do we stand for? What's the value we bring? Because there is not clarity.
Well, you know, and I would like to debate that a little bit. In that I think most of the stuff that comes out of RI is getting better. Is that it's way too high level. I mean, if I tell you that our theme is world peace, and you go, somebody comes up and says, "What are you up to?" and you go, "I'm bringing world peace."
Yeah.
They're going to look at you like you're crazy. Rotary is a grassroots organization. And the stuff that comes out of RI is very high level. People join a grassroots organization, and then they grow into all this other stuff. And this kind of stuff is good. This is great. That's going in the right direction. I'm pointing at some of the... Yeah, I'm going to get it out so you can see it on the microphone. You see this? This is the part of the Humanity in Motion stuff that's coming out of RI, and it says, when you start with Rotary, good things happen.
Simple.
And that's great. That's really good.
But that assumes that you know what Rotary is. If somebody tells me, you start with Rotary, good things happen, what's Rotary?
Ordinary people doing extraordinary things.
And that should come before that statement there. Rotary is an extraordinary doing X, and good things happen.
See, I don't understand
that doesn't
the
mean
problem.
Anything to me.
But see, it does to me, and that's what's interesting.
Well, because you're a Rotarian.
Yeah, and really into this. So I got to step out of my own skin and say, how come you people don't get it? You know, what's it going to take?
Not saying what it is, doing extraordinary things. I mean, big, you know, that could be, I mean, that could be SEAL Team 6. I mean, we don't know what that means. I mean, I just scribbled down something here, you know, like service from your neighborhood to our world. Okay.
Like that.
Now, what are we? We're a service club. Where are we? We're in your neighborhood. Your neighborhood. I'm your neighbor. All right? And where are we taking it? We're also going to take it to the world. And whose world is it? It's our world. So that gets in the key. Service, neighborhood, world. And it's
you're
just,
highlighting what Rosemary said.
Right.
Is that around this table, there are seven of us with seven ideas as to what works. And the problem with that is you diffuse your message. If each of us represents it differently, there has to be a general sense of what Rotary is. And the problem, I think, with Rotary, unlike Coca-Cola or some of the others that have a specific one purpose, we have six focus areas. We do polio. We do neighborhood. We are such a broad, good thing. How do you give a tag to that? It covers the breadth of what we do. What covers that?
Yeah. I think it's different things to different people. I think one of the concerns here is that perhaps the last few years, the extraordinary circumstances we've been in, the way the information moves differently now, the way that the economic situation's been, I think there's a tendency to feel an urgency. And I think maybe RI's feeling that, maybe some Rotarians are feeling that. But maybe we need to also just kind of take a step back and just realize that, look, what got us here? We were here. I joined Rotary because I wanted to give back. Somebody had told me this is the place to go. So there I was. I showed up at a Rotary meeting. 4 years later, I'm still in Rotary. I, you know, it's hard to kind of imagine what all my club, just my little club, has done in the last 4 years. That stuff, when you're changing lives, you know what? The rest of it doesn't matter.
Right.
It's going to come around. So I think maybe we need to cut ourselves some slack here as well.
So the big reward that we've got to keep telling people is the sense of fulfillment that each Rotarian gets when they do something. This service above self is kind of tricky because, yeah, you don't expect anything, but you get way back more than you could ever expect. You feel good about yourself and about life and all that. But what strikes me, we're looking for slogans, right? And what pops into my head is, be all you can be. Join Rotary. But wait a minute, where did I get that one? Oh my gosh, jump out of a helicopter for Rotary and start blasting? So, you know, how do you get the message to the streets, Joe? And maybe it isn't such an urgent thing as we think it is, even though we're so involved in it. But let's morph this just a bit and say, ask this question because I got to take advantage of the fact that we've got such different levels of Rotarian responsibility sitting around the table. How does the organization of Rotary function best? What is the communication lines? Where is it falling apart? And let me give you the example. There is a perception, and perception is often taken as reality, that once you leave the club, it's a lot like being a teacher, once you leave the actual school site, you become just a pain in the side of everybody else. But once you're above club level, you're basically either useless or an irritant. How do we let Rotarians recognize and appreciate that the other levels of Rotary, the different organizations, are there to support them? Is that the case? And if it is the case, how do we do that?
I think that's common in many organizations. Mm-hmm. You can look at corporations mm-hmm. that have a home office and a field, mm-hmm. and there's always that distance or that opinion. But I believe it's about relationships. Mm-hmm. And when you create the relationships with the people, so it is, Vic was saying, it's grassroots. You got to get right down into the club and be a part of the club. Have them consider you part of the club. And we're making a lot of strides in our district structure. Some may still think it's top heavy, but it's still, we're making it more regionalized, where we have representatives that are from those areas and working with the clubs and giving them the kind of support and that they need to do that. So it's a long process, and I don't think we're going to solve it in the near future, but we are aware of it and making efforts to improve it.
Yeah, I know, because I'm fortunate enough to be involved in some of that and understand some of that. But there's this rarefied group of people, zoners, we call them. And what is zone, Rosemary? And what? How? And this is a leading question because, you know, I know the answer. But I want Rosemary to explain, who are you people and what do you do?
Well, at some point, historically, and I actually don't know when that happened, the organization was divided up and grouped. So a district is, say, a geographic area of clubs that work together and have what I consider a motivational leader. I consider a governor to be a motivational leader. And other committee members whose jobs it is to help clubs be successful at what it is they want to accomplish. And I've observed over the years that the district committees that help clubs and give them real value are the ones that are most successful. And I've also observed that when clubs work together, they are more successful. I'm not necessarily saying they have to do projects together, but it's not as if a single individual has a corner on all good ideas. So if somebody has a great idea about a food program from the farm to the food banks, and that project is really successful in a club, and then five other clubs adopt it, and then before you know it, 56 clubs have it, that's a district, and then you have multiple districts all participating in this program, which happens to be a real program, Rotary First Harvest, of getting food from the farm to the food banks. Pretty soon it gets bigger and bigger and bigger, but it started with three guys. And they just grew it. So what I think really a district ended up doing was saying, hey, look at this great idea over here. Well, have you thought about this? And then pretty soon one governor told another one, well, have you heard about this great program? And they started replicating it. Therefore, I think that the level above districts, which are multiple districts and a zone, is accomplishing essentially the same thing. So if in my job as the PR person, and previously I was the zone membership chair, you find out that some group of people have a really great idea and it's really successful, then you tell others about it. Then you get people trying to work together, share information, share ideas, like you would at work. You know, why at work would you want to operate in a vacuum? You wouldn't. So why would you do that in Rotary? In our area, it's 10 districts make a zone. People working at the zone are trying to help every district be successful at helping their clubs be successful and having a bigger impact. When you get to directors, you're looking at people making policy that you would hope would make, on an international basis, we're an international organization, so you've got directors from all over the world. So they're making policy decisions and setting forward directions whose purpose it is to help Rotary clubs and districts be successful at what they want to do. Now, as with Congress, sometimes people can forget that they're there to serve, but a lot of people never forget that. And your really good directors don't forget that. And they're supporting their district, supporting the clubs, both their own and internationally, to be more successful. And to be give greater value to individuals that become Rotarians.
So the clubs are autonomous. The districts support the clubs, don't really give direction. I mean, they have projects and things they try to encourage, and they try to encourage people to work together. Zone tries to encourage districts by being a communication sort of clearinghouse and an idea source, and then these directors, they're off in the netherworld. Do they consult with Zone? Do they have meetings where zonies get together and say, "Hey, y'all, you're so out of touch," or any? Do they have opportunity to send input to the directors? Are the directors an area that has an independent vision, or do they have their, as you say, some of them, their feet firmly planted in on the ground?
Well, I think it's just like it is at in business. Some senior level people communicate a lot two-way with the people that report for that with them and with the people with whom they work. And others communicate less often. So I think that's kind of a personal thing. How often do you communicate and how do you do it? And some directors communicate quite a bit, both to governors and to people on their team. And others communicate a little bit less. And some communicate more two-way than others. And that's more just a personal style.
Okay.
So I don't think anybody's told, do it a certain way.
Now, about influence, however. Obviously, the person who has most influence in Rotary is the average Rotarian. Because they're either going to do or not. You know, it's binary with them. Yes or no, on or off. They're either going to do something, it's going to happen, or it's not. And you get up to the club organization, the president, I was that for a while, and sometimes you win, folks, and sometimes they do it their own way. Still, you facilitate it, and it's good. District, now it's getting kind of big. You visit a club, you say, hey, you know, and they say, oh, boy, or they say, hey, yeah, you know, so that's win-win sometimes, too. And I know in my relationship with Zone, with both the membership and the PR people, I've gotten tons of great stuff I've been able to share. So I'm just wondering, you know, I guess the influence is potentially greater because you can talk to more people, but it's also potentially a little more distracted. But anyway, I thank you so much. I just basically wanted the casual listener to try to understand what a large and complex organization Rotary is. But as Eddie was saying, it's in the street, isn't it?
But I think the misnomer is you say it's a large and complex, but it always comes back to what you said, the Rotarian. The individual Rotarian is at the heart and soul of Rotary, and as complex as it may get, you always remember it's the individual Rotarian that makes Rotary up. We're made up of the 1.2 million individuals, right, that is the heart of it.
So what it really means is if you're going to be a Rotarian, or if you're going to belong to Rotary, I guess, then you need to make a decision, don't you? Am I going to just belong to Rotary, mm-hmm. or should I be a Rotarian? Now, what's the difference, folks, between being in a Rotary club and being a Rotarian? Well, let me really put these people on the spot. What does being a Rotarian mean to you personally? Okay, they're not saying anything. All right, so here it is. I'm going to cut them a little slack, okay. And I know we're running low on the time. For me, being a Rotarian means doing something that if I were to get run over when I walked out in the street today and someone said, so what have you done? I could say, well, I was a school teacher and I was a Rotarian. And I could say being a Rotarian was just as important to me as having been a school teacher because I made a positive difference in the world. At least I convinced myself I did, and I know I did.
Real quickly, I would say this, Steve. For me, it's having a good time doing good works. because Rotary is my social life as well as my community service. And it fulfills both of those. And having the camaraderie and the fellowship as is important, and why I joined actually was because my friends were Rotarians. I didn't join to do service. I joined because my friends were there, and I also like doing service. And when you can get a twofer, doing good works with your friends and having a good time. So that's what Rotary, being a Rotarian, is: having a good time doing good works.
Boy, that's it in a nutshell. What about some of the rest of you? Nobody gets off the bus here.
As this is Eddie, as when I think of myself as a Rotarian, and I said, "Well, what is a Rotarian? What do you do?" And I think, in many ways, of the four-way test. I'm fighting for the truth. I'm fighting to make it fair to all concerned. I want it to be build goodwill and better friendship, and I want it to be beneficial to all concerned. This is exactly what it is to be a Rotarian in my mind. It's a philosophy. It's a way of approaching the world. And I try to stay as close as I can to that, except when I play poker, in which case all bets are off. But aside
Cute.
From
all
that...
All bets are off.
I can't help it. But to be a Rotarian is to live a philosophy of not just service. It's a philosophy of making the world better because you were involved in it. Not because you were there, but because you were involved. You made it beneficial for all concerned. You made it fair. And you damn well told the truth.
That's beautiful.
So, I think that also, this is Laura, we talk about what we give and the service and so forth. There's also an important part of Rotary in what we get, personal and professional development. Mm-hmm. And I sometimes like to talk about the selfish part of Rotary, particularly when we're looking at bringing in members, because it will, Rosemary and I were talking on the way over here, how you'll pay good money to go to a professional convention or conference, do the same thing in Rotary. Makes you a better person, and you can take that to all different parts of your life.
I have three reasons why I'm a Rotarian. The first one is doing good. My focus tends more to be internationally. I'm in a club that's focused internationally, so tends to be doing good on the international scene. Secondly, and this one I've become really much more clear of, which is maybe partly why Laura and I were talking about this, which is developing myself professionally and personally. Now, I can joke around and say that thanks to Rotary, I can facilitate group discussions and walk backwards in high heels and not fall down.
There you go.
Which is true.
I can do that.
Yes. All right.
But there's a whole lot of other things that personally and professionally I have learned because of my association with really exemplary people and and even the training we get around what we're doing here, strategic communication, public speaking, planning major events, branding, many issues that I've learned about and honed in Rotary that I use at work and brings value to the organization for which I've worked. And lastly, I would say friendships, that my world is not as small as it was, that I have friends all over Washington State, the West Coast, the United States, Europe, all over the place, Rotary friends that I know I could call, I could visit, I could ask for help, I could talk to, and I would never have a circle of friends as wide and diverse as I do, thanks to Rotary.
And as talented.
Yeah.
Rotarians are good friends to have. Mm-hmm. How about you, sir?
Go ahead, Vic.
Huh? You going to pass the ball?
No, I can go whenever.
Go.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, I mentioned earlier, I joined Rotary to give back. Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm here. I probably stay in Rotary because the fun that you have with other people giving back, it's a community of people that will allow you to do great things, and that's what keeps me in Rotary. So,
Sensei?
Pretty simple.
Well, basically, I would mirror what Rosemary said, but with different words. You get to meet like-minded people all over the world, and like wouldn't be talking to Rosemary today.
Yeah.
If we weren't part of this organization doing what we're doing now. And then the whole thing about purposefulness, you know, giving, you know, I'm retired. You get out of bed in the morning, what are you going to do? Are you going to watch TV? Are you going to trim roses? Or are you going to do something that in some way is going to make the world better? And then you get the part about personal development. Mm-hmm. I mean, what other organization would give me the kind of computer resources to play with? And that's what I do. I play with computers in this great big database and the websites and all that other kind of stuff. And for me, this, it's a hobby. Mm-hmm. So it's just a great organization. And any skill. Here we got Joe sitting on the end, and he's bringing us podcasts and Facebook and all that other kind of stuff. And that adds great value to our organization because we need to know how to do all that stuff. So,
sharing your vocation is a good thing. Yeah. That's what Paul DiDonato said to me this week at our Rotary meeting when I helped the speaker with their laptop.
Yeah.
Here's the bottom line, folks. We have a lot of fun being Rotarians, and we get a lot of satisfaction out of it. And honestly, if we were to say we do it all for service of humanity and we don't even think about ourselves, it's really not true, because this is a blast. I wouldn't have known any of the people sitting here at the table in my place if I hadn't joined Rotary. And these are dear friends. These are wonderful people. I enjoy being with them, and I'll do any project with them that they want to do because I enjoy being with them. And when we throw the numbers out, sometimes we talk about, oh, we lead with our numbers and people don't relate to that. Well, let me just throw that same number at you, but slightly different. How would you like to be in a family of 1.2 million people, all of whom you could at least tolerate and respect? You know how it is with families. You might have somebody you argue with from time to time because you see the world a little differently, but bottom line, you are family. They let you in, folks, and that's the definition of family. It's the place. Home is where, when you go there, they really got to let you in. And once you're in Rotary, you are in this massive family, and this family is together for the best of reasons. The four-way test, service, and being a Rotarian has structured, as you were saying, the social life, we don't go on vacation anymore. We go to Rotary events, and we don't hang around with, you know, anybody. We hang around with Rotarians and all this good stuff, and I, you know, join this and that and other. Bottom line is that this is something that we probably could well keep to ourselves, but why would we? And a couple quotes I'd like to end on, I think, from the first PR man in America. He was P.T. Barnum, and you may remember him for his circuses and his American Museum. But he said a couple different things, and he said, without promotion, something terrible happens. Nothing. All right? So we need to think about that, because why not share the love, really? Why not share the opportunity? I mean, if we're having such a great time, why are we keeping it to ourselves, folks? There's got to be people in every community that would get as much or more out of Rotary as we do. So why not share that? And the second thing is, and this is, you know, you've heard it a zillion times, but Barnum also said, and it was Phineas T, by the way, with a PH, if I shoot at the sun, I may hit a star. Well, there are a lot of stars walking out there. I think we got to get our nets and arrows and slings and stuff. We got to go out there and round up some of these people. So if you're a Rotarian, get out there, find another potential Rotarian, bring them into your club, share the love, man. It's, you know, it really is something that belongs to humanity. And the bigger it grows, the better it is for all of us. And if you're not a Rotarian, would you get to a Rotary meeting and get on with it? You are wasting time, and time is the one thing you're not going to be able to find in a bottle or a package or from Coca-Cola or any of those other big guys that promise you everything. Rotary will make the best use of your time. So, for one and all, thank you very much. Thank you for coming and making this podcast so much fun and hopefully so meaningful. This is Bill Randall saying thanks for listening, folks.
Thanks, Bill.
Thanks, Bill. Thank you. Good job.
We're doing the wave.
Doing the wave.